just to add on to that for a second, I think we also have an obligation towards one another as well. And I look at the blessing that Isaac gives to Jacob, and just to look at the second part of it for a second. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curses thee, and blessed be everyone that blessed thee. Jacob was probably pretty enthusiastic about the second part, where cursed be everyone that curses thee, because that was his big concern before, that he was going to be cursed. But the other part here, let thy mother's sons bow down to thee, that's in direct violation to what Rebecca was told previously. So that can mean two things. Either Isaac knew of this other blessing and was saying something in direct violation to what God had already said, or maybe he never even knew that Rebecca had been told these things, because we're told Rebecca was told that. We're not told Isaac was. So there's really two problems here. This is a very grievous sin if he had told the other son this thing, because it's directly opposing to what God says. So either Rebecca is failing in the duty to tell her brother, we could make it practical, tell another believer something that God has told her, or she knows that someone is going to directly violate God's word and doesn't step in and say something. And I think as believers, not only do we have an obligation to listen to God's voice for our own lives, but if we see a fellow believer doing something that we know is wrong, we have an obligation to step in and to say something. And sometimes maybe there's someone better who could say something. But here, obviously, I mean, she's his husband, or wife. There's no one better here. But we should always be before the Lord, not only for what we can do to make our lives as believers, our walk as believers better, but also when we see injuries in other believers' lives, we have an obligation to intervene there as well.
Maybe we can, we've got about 25 minutes or less. Maybe we can see now the...
Do we go to 12 or 12:30?
Lunch is 12:30? 12:30. What does the schedule say?
Schedule says 10:30 to 12 is a Bible study, and then 12:30 to 1:30 is lunch.
Yeah, lunch is 12:30.
So maybe we'll just take 5 more minutes?
Yes. So I want just to point out the impact now that what Rebecca and Jacob have done upon the life of Esau. So Esau, he comes back. And, you know, I can imagine Esau as the firstborn. You know, his birthright had been forfeited. He'd sold it. And he, with great anticipation, probably with great vigor, had gone to slay an animal, to fulfill his father's wishes. And I can imagine him coming back really with a real heightening in his step, great anticipation of this blessing. And he comes into his father. And he says, he sets before his father the food that's there. His father's saying, who are you? I mean, can you imagine this? I mean, your father, who's known you all your life, you're carrying out his wishes. Dad, here it is. And he's saying, who are you? He said, what do you mean? I'm Isaac, your firstborn. And you look at Isaac's response. He trembles exceedingly. It's at that point that Isaac knew that he had been deceived. And you know, I really believe that because there were these conflicts in the home going back many years, that part of the reason why Isaac sought really to kind of, what's a good word, to confirm, to validate that this was really Esau, is because he knew that Rebecca loved Jacob. He knew that there had been some of these shenanigans before. And he sought in every way. But you see, Isaac was old. There wasn't the spiritual discernment here. The natural thing. Even his ear said, you know, let me tell you, you know, I would know my daughter's voice if I was blind. Right? Because you know the voice. But he was fooled by feelings. He was fooled by the touch. And now his firstborn comes back. And Isaac, he recognizes that he had been taken advantage of. And here's Esau saying to him, is there any blessing left for me? You see, God had determined that he was to bless Jacob. But I use this, young people, to point this particular principle out. We may think that something that we do only impacts me, but it has an impact upon others around me. When there's a life that is given to the Lord, over to him, there's the positive aspects of how it impacts me. It impacts my peers. It impacts my parents. It impacts the saints. It impacts the Lord. And as Brother Ben said, I think this is a very important point that is needed today amongst young people. I cannot and should not see you doing something wrong and don't speak out against it. Because then I am a partaker of another man's sins. And then me, myself, as an individual, great English grammar, as an individual, Scripture says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So there's the individual responsibility, and then there's a responsibility one to another. You look how Esau was impacted by the dealings of his mother, the dealings of his father, the dealings of his brother. And you read through the Scriptures, Esau is the father of the Edomites. And you see the struggles of Esau and the offspring. You see the continual battle between the children of Israel and the Edomites. Later on, they wouldn't even let them pass through the land. They were a judge for that. But it all began here. I want to, verse 41. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father blessed him. Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother. Then verse 43. Now therefore, my son, here is Rebekah speaking again. Obey my voice and arise, flee to Laban, my brother, to Haran. You know where Haran is? This is all part of the area which Abraham was called out of. Mm-hmm. Go back to that idolatrous place. Mm-hmm. You see what happens? You go from a place of blessing. God called them out to secure a land of blessing for them. Mm-hmm. But deceitfulness and sin and wickedness causes a mother, who herself had come under the blessings of God, mm-hmm. to say to her son, go back into that awful place. You hide there. And so the results of sin and taking things into our own hands, setting aside the voice and the word of God, results in Jacob going away from the place of blessing. He had the blessing now upon him. God said he was going to get it. And if, in a sense, God allowed this to take place, right? But God never would sanction this kind of behavior. And the result was that Jacob now is a man on the run. A man with blessing. A man with the promises mm-hmm. upon him. But he's a man that is running. And as Christians, we're taught to stand upon the promises of God.